This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Evacuations in California. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, Monday, July 10. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Terrifying moments on the West Coast where a handful of wildfires spread quickly yesterday. Thousands were forced to flee their homes.
Donald Trump Jr. explains a meeting with a Russian lawyer who claimed to have information about Hillary Clinton.
Lawmakers return to Capitol Hill today after their July 4th recess, facing the same unfinished business over a health insurance bill.
And where workers are getting sizable raises this year.
For most of us, inflation actually outpaced wage growth, so we didn't see any real gains in terms of dollars. But there are major exceptions to that rule.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on the major exceptions for employees getting raises that outpace inflation. She's here in about 20 minutes. Wildfires in the West, with as many as 8,000 people forced to evacuate parts of California along the central coast. Firefighters battled two major blazes on opposite ends of Santa Barbara County. The Alamo Fire near Highway 166 was the largest active fire in California and was 15% contained after burning more than 37 square miles as of last evening. At least 200 people were forced to evacuate a remote area east of Santa Maria. About 35 miles to the south, more than 3,500 people have fled the Whittier Fire just north of Goleta. Los Padres National Forest Deputy Chief Jim Harris.
Fire's burning in an area that hasn't burnt in probably 60 years or older in some cases, and the area has been affected by our drought for the last 5 years, which has been the most severe in California's history.
A third blaze in the central coast, the Stone Fire, ignited yesterday afternoon about 30 miles east of Morro Bay. Elsewhere across California, more than 4,000 people were under a mandatory evacuation order as the Wall Fire tore through nearly 8 square miles and destroyed 10 structures in a remote part of Butte County, roughly 60 miles north of Sacramento. President Trump's oldest son arranged a meeting last summer between top campaign aides and a Russian lawyer tied to the Kremlin. In the meeting, Donald Trump Jr. said the lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya, stated that individuals connected to Russia were funding the Democratic National Committee and supporting Hillary Clinton. But he said no supporting information was provided. He then says the lawyer raised the issue of the Magnitsky Act, which placed sanctions on Russian human rights abusers, at which point he says he cut off the meeting. In a move seen as retaliation to that law, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed his own law banning adoption of Russian children by American families. Reince Priebus, President Trump's chief of staff, was on Fox News yesterday, Fox News Sunday, to address it.
It was a very short meeting. It was a meeting apparently about Russian adoption. And after about 20 minutes, the meeting ended, and that was the end of it.
In a statement yesterday, Mr. Trump Jr. said the meeting in New York City was also attended by Jared Kushner, the president's senior advisor, and Paul Manafort, then the Trump campaign chairman. Mr. Kushner disclosed the meeting earlier this year in a required form. The turmoil that Congress left behind when lawmakers departed for their July 4th recess is awaiting them as they return to Capitol Hill today. For example, Senate Republicans are so divided over a health overhaul bill that they are also struggling to agree on what to do if they fail to pass their legislation. The Wall Street Journal says some conservative lawmakers feel an implosion of the Republican legislation would give them a chance to return to their goal of fully repealing the Affordable Care Act, postponing a decision about how to replace it. Meantime, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We've talked about it and we're making good progress, and I think the odds of this bill passing, which would do such damage to New Yorkers, middle class and poor, is getting smaller and smaller.
The focus on possible steps to take if Senate Republicans can't unite around a health bill is the strongest sign yet of the growing pessimism about the fate of the GOP legislation and the party's 7-year pledge to topple what's also known as Obamacare. Some Republicans now say a vote to pass a bill could stretch beyond August, and that's if there is a vote at all. 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Republican leaders consider next year's midterm elections a ripe opportunity to strengthen their party's majority in the Senate. But GOP lawmakers are turning down challenges in states in which President Trump defeated Democrat Hillary Clinton. Part of the reason appears to be that since midterms can be a referendum on the current White House, President Trump's approval ratings are a concern. Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews says the prospect has left many potentially vulnerable Democrats and Democratic incumbents without serious challengers. Natalie, what do we have here?
There's a lot of focus on 2018, especially because the Senate map is so interesting this year with Democrats and Republicans. And legislation, I mean, it's this Republican-controlled government, and people are interested in how that may change in 2018.
It doesn't appear that there's an effort to capitalize on the states that Donald Trump won in the election?
Yeah, there's 10 states that have Democratic senators that Mr. Trump won. Five of those he won by double digits. And so it seems as though these are really fertile ground for Republicans to take more control and increase their numbers in the Senate. However, a lot of candidates that seem as though they could be potentially good Senate candidates have turned those seats down. And these are mostly House members who have said, hey, I'm staying in the House, which is also interesting because if Democrats are going to take anywhere, they may be able to take control of the House. So it's interesting they want to stay there, too.
Now, is that unusual for potential Senate candidates to turn down the chance and instead stay in the House?
You know, we may be seeing different things at play behind the scenes here, and I think more of this will emerge. There's some thought that Republicans are trying to maybe limit primary races. They already have some primaries in some of these states, and so there's some thoughts that, you know, people are being encouraged to stay in the House while they try to find other strong candidates. But right now, there's several candidates who have said no and saying they're staying in the House.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews. Could this change if the president's poll numbers start to tick up?
It could. Midterms are definitely often referendums on the president, and Donald Trump currently has a 37% approval rating. And so history shows that, I mean, these House members could enter the race, and if voters make this about Donald Trump and not necessarily the candidate they're voting for, it could go poorly for these politicians, and they may want to be playing it safe.
You also write that there are some vulnerable Democrats that don't have any challengers right now. How is that possible with the current political climate? Why hasn't the GOP tried to take a shot at those seats?
Yeah, the main focus here is Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota. Donald Trump won 63% of the vote, but there's really no challenger from Republicans yet on whether or not they'll be able to put someone up to really maybe take, you know, switch that seat for a Republican.
Are people just not seeing a job in Congress as sexy and prestigious as it used to be?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who wants to run for a seat where you have such a low approval rating? A lot of experts I talked to, they're like, yeah, it's not looking like the prestigious job that it once was. There's a lot of gubernatorial contests that will be competitive next year, things like that. But, you know, Congress is, they're not well-liked, and maybe some people know that and want to stay where they're at.
What else should we be keeping our eyes on?
I think those 10 states are really the ones to watch and to look at where we get strong candidates. Maybe we'll have strong candidates emerge in the next few weeks. I think maybe there could be some work behind the scenes at play. But, you know, look at Ohio, watch Wisconsin, watch Missouri. These states are really interesting to see in the next little while to see what kind of prospects we could have in 2018.
Thanks, Natalie. Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
When President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., agreed to meet with a Kremlin-linked lawyer during the 2016 election campaign after being promised damaging information about Hillary Clinton. The New York Times reports that Trump's then-campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, also attended the meeting at Trump Tower on June 9, 2016, 2 weeks after Trump won the Republican nomination. White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus addressed the meeting on Fox News Sunday.
This is a developing story. I don't know much about it other than it seems to be on the end of the Trump individual. It's a big nothing burger, but may spin out of control for the DNC and the Democrats.
Well, as spokesman for President Trump's legal team says the president was not aware of and did not attend the meeting. President Trump was assailed by critics after tweeting that the U.S. might form a cybersecurity partnership with Russia to defend from future election hacking, a prospect that he later backtracked from. Critics from both sides of the aisle expressed alarm that Trump appeared to want to cooperate with very people suspected of cyber attacks. Senator Lindsey Graham appeared on NBC.
It's not the dumbest idea I've ever heard, but it's pretty close.
Trump later tweeted that he did not think it could happen. The number of U.S. adults without health insurance has grown by 2 million this year, according to a new survey that finds recent coverage gains beginning to erode. The new numbers highlight what's at stake as Congress returns to an unresolved debate over Republican proposals to roll back much of the health care law. The Gallup Share Care Well-Being Index finds the uninsured rate was 11.7% this spring, compared with a record low of 10.9% at the end of last year. While Obamacare has remained politically divisive, it had helped drive the uninsured rate to historic lows. Well, if you're a Republican man from Connecticut paying for your meal with a credit card, you're probably a great tipper. According to a new report from creditcards.com, the best tippers are men, Republicans from the Northeast, and customers paying with a credit or debit card. These groups generally tip a median of 20% when dining at a restaurant. Women, Democrats, Southerners, and those paying in cash leave a 15 to 16% tip on average. About half of tippers in the survey tip between 16 and 20%, but one in five customers at dine-in restaurants don't leave any gratuity at all.
One in five?
One in five.
Zero tip?
That's pretty bad.
That's awful. Goodness gracious. I mean, for me, it doesn't take much. You come up, you smile, and like when the kids were younger, you got a nice word for like the kids or something?
Agreed.
You're in.
Yep.
You get a nice tip. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples is your office away from your office with everything you need to print, scan, or fax. Access files from a USB, email, or the cloud, and use self-serve machines to avoid waiting and get back to business. Staples, it's pro time. Recruiters, baristas, and restaurant cooks are seeing more promising paychecks, but at the same time, in some cases, inflation is outpacing job growth. More on what's happening from Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, what's trending?
The number one job getting big pay growth is recruiters at 8.4% year-over-year pay growth, which is really good. And, you know, what's going on here is there's a lot of companies who, you know, really looking, you know, the economy is getting better. They're really looking for talent to fill jobs. And recruiters can really help them make the perfect match because it's expensive, right, to hire people and bring them on board. And you really want to find the right person for these certain jobs. And so recruiters are really having a good year.
A couple you might not expect near the top of the list, barista and restaurant cook. What's going on there?
Yeah, that might be, they think, because a minimum wage was raised in some cities, and so that might be reflected in this. And these things. Plus, you know, they, and by the way, they're not making a ton anyway, but they, a barista about $24,000 a year and a restaurant cook about $29,000 a year. But pay growth in those jobs above 7%. And yeah, it could be a part of it because, you know, minimum wage was raised up in some cities. And so that really helped them see an uptick in pay.
And with unemployment being relatively low right now, maybe there just aren't as many people available to fill those jobs as there used to be.
Right. It used to be right that college grads, you know, were filling them not even a few years ago, and now that's probably changed, so they got to pay to get them. You know, also on this top 10 jobs with fastest pay growth that I found quite interesting, you see delivery driver up there, and that's really like the Amazons and the Walmarts of the world. People are really ordering a ton of things online, and so there is just huge demand for people who are doing these jobs, and that'll probably continue to grow, you know, quite well and pay as well. They, you know, you see Amazon's promising you one day, 2 day shipping, and they need a lot of people there to help deliver it. Warehouse associate is also on the list for that same reason.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. A lot of the jobs on this list seem to be lower skilled or entry level jobs. Do you think there's any reason for that?
Yeah, they were. They didn't really know. I mean, some of it could be right the minimum wage thing, because this lower skilled kind of entry level jobs tend to be more impacted by that. Yeah, but they kind of broke up in the barista and restaurant cook, and then you saw, you know, bank teller, which surprised me. Here, I'll actually read out the list for everybody. Recruiter, barista, restaurant cook, claims adjuster, customer service manager, bank teller, warehouse associate and maintenance worker, pharmacy technician, and delivery driver. Yeah, most of them tended to be a little bit on the lower end, minus claims adjuster and recruiter. But yeah, I mean, some of this is minimum wage, and some of this is just they've had, you know, depressed wages for so long, and we're finally seeing, you know, things going up. But yeah, I thought that the big buckets I thought were super interesting, barista and restaurant cook, you know, with it being affected by the minimum wage, and then the delivery driver and the warehouse associate and the customer service manager on this list. That really speaks to the big growth in the Amazons of the world and delivery, and them needing people like that.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for being with us on this Monday, July 10. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: as many as 8,000 evacuations in California from a handful of raging wildfires. Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer who claimed to have info on Hillary. Iraqi officials yesterday celebrated the retaking of the city of Mosul from ISIS, but said the terror group remains a formidable threat. The Juno spacecraft will fly over Jupiter today. Capture pictures of that giant cyclone that's been raging there. The Amazon Prime Day promotion begins today. Dodgers get to the All-Star break with 61 wins, and cuddly goats taking our jobs. That story in about 20 minutes. So much for the notion that President Trump's critical comments about illegal immigrants and his ban on travel from six specific countries would scare international college students away. International students accepted to U.S. schools are planning to enroll at a similar rate as last year. More from Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, set this up.
Yeah, there's been concern in higher ed circles for a while when President Trump was running, and he was talking a lot about a lot of folks felt he was demonizing immigrants or folks from Mexico. There was concern that international students, who are a significant economic driver in higher education, would feel unwanted or maybe uncomfortable and stop coming in the increasing numbers that they have been coming in over the past 10 years.
Why is Texas an exception to this rule, Doug?
So the short answer is we don't really know. There's a lot of interesting ideas around it, but it's not clear. And to sort of back up, there was a survey done by an Institute of International Education that asked about 165 schools around the country what their yield rate was. So the yield rate is the percentage of kids who enroll in school after they've been admitted. So, you know, as a school says, okay, we want you to come, and then the student agrees and sends their money, and usually May 15th is sort of the time stamp on that. So yield rate tells a lot about the sort of momentum or the strength of a school, its popularity and that sort of thing, and it's a good indicator, you know, nationally, of whether or not the United States is holding its own in terms of how international students are feeling. So the yield rate for international students was fairly flat and even up a little bit in the Northeast, but it was down in the South a bunch, and it was down in Texas most dramatically. So the question is that you asked, and it's the right one, is why. And there's a lot of reasons that people are proposing, but no one really knows. Among them are that the oil industry is in a bit of a funk, so they have a lot of good petroleum programs, petroleum engineering programs. Maybe folks aren't coming from oil-producing countries to study there in the biggest numbers. There are a lot of variables just in terms of local economies of who would be coming here. But the one that I think hit the biggest chord in our story was that there is concern among us, especially Indian students, who are the second largest group of international students who come to the U.S., who are asking a lot about red states and blue states, and the idea being that in red states there's less tolerance for immigrants and for foreigners. And also campus carry is an issue that kids are concerned about around the country, so a lot of the international enrollment officers at U.S. universities say they're hearing concerns about campus carry, and they're hearing concerns about red state, blue state. And how real this is, it's just not known right now, but these are some of the ideas that are floating around.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Doug Belkin. His piece is called Political Lines Shape U.S. College Picks of Some Foreign Students. Is this a new concern for foreign students to factor on a red or blue state?
Yeah, so I spoke to the enrollment officer at Indiana University, and he said he was in Rome the day after the election, and he's been doing this for a long time, and it was the first time he'd ever heard a question, is Indiana a red state or a blue state? And this question has come up much more frequently, and the sort of concerns around politics in the U.S. have become much more intense since the last election. So it's probably been there to some degree, but it seems like the intensity of it is rising.
Thanks, Doug. Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Doug Belkin. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, there are good weddings, there are bad weddings, and then there are weddings where you're taken away from your reception in handcuffs. That's what happened to one groom in Long Island, New York over the weekend. Guests at Thomas Giglio's reception were enjoying a large fireworks display, cheering on the bride, groom, and booms when police arrived. Police say they were called to the home early Saturday and found a big party with professional-level pyrotechnics in the backyard. 39-year-old Thomas Giglio explained he was setting them off to celebrate his wedding. Though the authorities were in such a festive mood, he was arrested and arraigned on Saturday on fireworks possession charges. Bond was set at $5,000.
Mm.
So there are, you know, there are some good ways to end the wedding and some bad ways. And then, you know, again, being taken away is probably the worst way to finish up your wedding reception.
Yeah, just because you're an Italian from Long Island does not mean you can shoot off fireworks at your wedding.
That's no excuse.
Yeah, no good.
Generally.
You need to practice, by the way, on the pronunciation of Long Island.
What I say?
It's first of all, it's L-A-W-N-G-U-Y. L-A-N-D or right. L-I-N-D, Long Island.
Long Island.
We need to work on that for you. If you really want to ingrain yourself in you know, Eastern New York culture, that's what we need to do.
You need to spend a little more time in Massapequa, is that what you're saying?
Right. Long Island. Okay.
And while today, speaking of New York, officially starts the Summer of Hell in New York City, Boston is also having its own transit issues, though this one has more to do with how you interact with your fellow riders once you actually get on the train. Boston has now joined other big cities in discouraging the act of man-spreading on its trains and buses. The Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority has begun a lighthearted campaign to discourage men from sitting with their legs wide apart, crowding out riders who might otherwise be able to find a seat next to you. The transit system is also asking people carrying large, heavy backpacks to take them off when boarding the train. Backpacks take up space and often bang into other passengers. In a brief animated video that recently debuted, a fat cat rolls around on a chair with a message reminding passengers to take only the seats they need. Mm. It ends with the words, "Courtesy counts."
I see. Very good. I was in Boston on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. And I went to a place in Quincy Market to eat.
Yeah.
A place called Mija, I think it's called.
Okay.
I think it's daughter in Spanish.
Right.
I had a Mexican shrimp cocktail.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never heard of that, but it sounds delightful.
It came in like a, its own, like almost like a little, like a cold soup almost.
Okay.
And with Old Bay seasoning. And if you put Old Bay seasoning on anything in my book,
right,
it is edible.
Yeah.
But this was a sensational Mexican shrimp cocktail.
Old Bay is a very polarizing spice, I believe. So you either really, really like Old Bay and literally want to put it on everything, like my wife does. My wife will put Old Bay on, you know, ice creams, but literally everything.
Absolutely.
But some people can't stand it and they will run screaming the other direction.
Well, anyway, I did not discuss this new MTA or Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority thing on man spreading.
Did you take any mass transportation?
It did not.
Were your legs properly secured?
I can man spread my own car.
Right.
So not on public transit in Boston.
Very nice.
Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. The secret to a good night's sleep later in life is having a good reason to get up in the morning. The study from Northwestern University found that people who felt they had a strong purpose in life suffered less insomnia and sleep disturbances than others, and claimed to rest better at night as well. A neurologist who led the research said that encouraging people to develop a sense of purpose could help them to keep insomnia at bay without the need for sleeping pills. He said people who felt their lives had most meaning were less likely to have sleep apnea or restless leg syndrome. The study is in the journal Sleep Science and Practice. A charity called Age UK advises people who sleep badly to go to bed and rise at the same time every day, establish a bedtime routine, and cut out caffeine, alcohol, and nicotine in the evening. They also suggest not eating a heavy meal late at night, avoiding exercise before bed, cutting out daytime naps. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the initial GOP bill to repeal and replace the nation's health law is probably dead, and President Trump's proposal to just repeal it appears to be a non-starter. That's what two Republican senators are indicating as their party scrambles to salvage faltering legislation. Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana says clearly the draft plan is dead, while Senator John McCain of Arizona says it's time for Republicans to come up with a new proposal with support from Democrats. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We've talked about it and we're making good progress, and I think the odds of this bill passing, which would do such damage to New Yorkers, middle class and poor, is getting smaller and smaller.
The White House insisted yesterday it fully expects a GOP repeal and replace bill to pass in the coming weeks. Donald Trump has backed away on a proposal to work with Russia to create an impenetrable cybersecurity unit to prevent election hacking. Hours after promoting the idea yesterday, Trump said he did not think it could actually happen. The idea of a partnership came after Trump's first face-to-face talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Germany on Friday, in which the pair discussed the issue. With the heat wave continuing to bake California and the rest of the West, wildfires forced nearly 8,000 people to dash for safety as flames destroyed homes and threatened thousands of structures across the state. Along the Central Coast, firefighters are battling two major blazes on opposite ends of Santa Barbara County. Los Padres National Forest Deputy Chief Jim Harris says firefighting resources have been stretched thin.
We've been having a critical need with hotshot crews and Type 3 engines in particular. Those are coming, but they're few and far between.
Efforts are focused on protecting mountain peaks that hold crucial communication and electrical infrastructure, including a high-voltage line that carries power to Santa Barbara and neighboring cities. New scary numbers about the cost of raising a child. According to financial website Bankrate, it now costs more than $245,000 to raise a kid in the U.S., not including inflation. And whether an aspiring parent can afford that depends on a number of factors, including the region they live in, the insurance policy they have, and their salary.
I'm much more comfortable not hearing that number at all.
I know. Isn't that scary?
Oh, my goodness. It's just breathtaking. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Never mind robots. Now goats are doing the jobs that humans used to. The latest example, Western Michigan University recently employed a team of goats to clear out undergrowth in a woodlot, much of it poison ivy and other vegetation that's a problem for humans to remove. Indeed, Moneyish.com says an angry labor union has filed a grievance claiming that the school's new furry subcontractors are eating up jobs that would otherwise be left to humans to fill. These aren't the only goats, by the way, taking human jobs. In California, Sacramento County officials have assigned 600 goats and sheep to eat dry vegetation that could potentially start a brush fire this summer. And goats are even getting into yoga. Back in April, one New Hampshire farm introduced goat yoga, where baby goats participate in the meditative art. You might recall, brought you that story. That's gone viral. Experts say goats are hot right now, and one reason is the multitude of goat videos that have cropped up online, like Goats Yelling Like Humans Supercut Compilation. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.